On SEN, your home of sport. Time On with Sam McClure.
Yes, welcome to Time on this Thursday. Darren Parkin sitting in for Sam McClure after a bedlam over the last couple of weeks. A fantastic topic to finish drive with Andy and Bob. And again, after the madness of a few days, nice to, I guess, let the hair down a little bit with that one. In a moment, James Gallagher will join us, the St Kilda list manager, to reflect on their haul. 5 from 5, the last two coming in the last 15 minutes of the trade period. And also for Kangaroos fans, it looked like it was going to be a trade period that wasn't going to generate anything. But Aiden Bono, one of the more talented and dynamic players out of the GWS camp, pick 11 a couple of years ago, hadn't quite been able to break a regular game in that Giants team, 6 games over 2 years. He's arrived at North Melbourne and he'll join us a little bit later on as well. We are, of course, here for mealsformen.com.au, bigger, healthier, tastier, mealsformen.com.au. In just a moment, James Gallagher to reflect on St Kilda's haul from the trade period. We'd love to hear from you, 1300 736 736, and also via our Speckle text machine. Cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast at 0433 98 11 16. But as we said, for Saints fans, call the Saints membership team today or tomorrow and buy any two Access memberships for the price of one. Call 1300 467 246 during business hours. They tick them off one by one. Paddy Ryder, Dougal Howard, Brad Hill, Zach Jones and Dan Butler. James Gallagher is the list manager at the Saints and been a very busy boy. He joined us on the program. James, thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Darren. How are you?
Not too bad. When you took on the role, I can't imagine you would have thought that this particular trade campaign was going to be as hectic as it has been for you and the club.
No, you're right. I probably didn't anticipate getting this sort of headlong into it and trying to bring 5 players in one campaign. But look, we're pretty well prepared for it. And in the end, yeah, we got a terrific result for the footy club.
We heard from Simon Lethlean this morning. So how did it come about? Brad Hill, we know, was in the sights of the club for quite some time. Dougal Howard had a decision to make, we think, involving sort of several clubs. How long was he on the radar, Dougal Howard? And then, I guess, when did it become apparent to you that the St Kilda was his choice?
Well, Dougal, we've watched Dougal for a while. Our recruiting team have certainly watched him in his draft year and then followed him since. And I've tracked his progress for a couple of years, certainly for, you know, the 13 months that I've been in the role. And, you know, he had signed a 3-year extension with Port early in the year. So he wasn't really on the radar. We sort of just looked on and thought, well, you know, it's a guy that would love to have at our footy club if we had the opportunity, but it was unlikely. So, but then, you know, late in the year, it became apparent that that there was a possibility that he may look to switch clubs. And yeah, once that became a, you know, a live opportunity, I suppose, we sort of, you know, threw ourselves into it and thought he could really help us. So, and as far as him letting us know, we didn't know until probably Wednesday last week, I don't think. So, yes, that the trade period had certainly commenced by 2 or 3 days.
How much does that change your thinking? I'm sure you've entered the trade period knowing that Brad Hill was a target, Zach Jones had been linked for quite some time, and Paddy Ryder, that the Butler and the Howard one sort of came late. In terms of strategies going into a trade period, thinking we might offer this, we might do this, we're confident we'll get a Ryder deal done, we've got pick 6 to play with somewhere along the way. How much does that change when a player like Dougal or Dan Butler put their hand up as well?
It does change a bit. We sort of, in the back of our mind, we thought that there was a possibility, so we wanted to be prepared if that was ever the case. And so, you know, it all worked out pretty well in the end. But, yeah, it took a fair bit of scrambling and, you know, a lot of hard work and a lot of discussion with other clubs to get it done. But, we're pretty well prepared for it, I think.
In regards to the Paddy Ryder situation, we've heard a lot of people, and Terry Wallace is one who's sort of made reference of trying to sort of see how that balances together with Rowan Marshall. St Kilda clearly needed some ruck assistance with Billy Longer and Lewis Pearce going down with concussions last year and ultimately leaving the club. And Tom Hickey traded out 12 months earlier and young players like Alabakis and these sorts of guys that are a fair way sort of down the rungs. In terms of that balance, I know it's more probably a coaching decision, but the main motivation for bringing him in, do you see him playing sort of primarily forward, or is it like a 50-50 mix you're anticipating between he and Rowan for a couple of years?
Yeah, that'll definitely be a coaching decision, and it'll see how each of the players are going and how their bodies are going and those sort of things. But what it does do is it gives us great flexibility, I think. You know, Paddy's shown, like he's a really accomplished ruckman in his own right. He's been an outstanding footballer, but he can obviously also play as a forward really effectively, and Rowan can do the same thing. So we felt that that was going to be the best option for us to complement Rowan. So I think, yeah, I'd imagine it's 50-50 or Paddy may even play, you know, slightly more in the ruck, but, you know, probably less game time than Rowan. But, yeah, that's going to be up to the coaches and fitness and how they're tracking and those sort of things. But what it does do is it gives our coaches some options.
Simon Lethlean also made mention of the fact that you can judge trades in isolation, but it's better served to judge the whole process, and that some instances you might pay overs, in some instances you might get something for unders. I guess if you assess the haul, are you comfortable sort of across the way? People looked at the Brad Hill deal, for example, and thought there were a lot of picks that were exchanged there, but when you factor in one of those picks came from Jack Stephen and the fact that you turned six into two first-rounders and had already got Ryder and Howard through the door, do you sort of assess it that way? Did the Hill deal go about the way you wanted it to, or did you pay maybe more or even less than you expected?
No, look, it's a really valid point that Simon makes, that you don't need to, if you're doing more than one trade, you don't assess it in isolation. You sort of look at what you had at the start of the week, what you have at the end, and what are the players that you brought in. So the Brad Hill one, that probably went, about as planned. He's an excellent footballer, Brad. He'll make a real big difference to us. So the reality is, if you want to bring really good players into your footy club, and Dougal and Paddy and Zach are down to the same, you have to be willing to part with something, and that's either players or draft picks. So we were prepared to do that. We really didn't want to trade out our future first pick. We think that, you know, by not having an early draft pick this year, we're really comfortable with that, given that we've had some early draft picks in previous years, but we didn't want to go 2 years without having that. So we wanted to protect that. But I think that's the right way to look at it, is to see, you know, what you've had to give up to get, you know, this suite of players in, and it feels like we sort of maximised the assets at our disposal to do so.
And it looks like you've obviously addressed areas that St Kilda would have needed further depth in, certainly the ruck we spoke about. Nathan Brown, an ageing player at fullback in recent years, and getting Howard in, given Carlisle himself had some issues on the injury front over the journey. And then obviously addressing leg speed. Was that a primary focus? We know Hill, one of the elite wingmen of the competition, but certainly that's what Zach Jones is going to provide as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's the way we look at it, is you draft to bring talent in, and you can, use trading and free agency to address specific needs on your list and in your team, and that's what we did here. We think that these guys each complement the really exciting young list that we have. Look, it's not perfect, but we think the guys that we brought in are exactly what we need at the moment. So we're pretty comfortable with that.
Interesting, we saw Dan Butler in Bali with a St Kilda jumper about 15 minutes after the trade period. That deal went through, I think, second last trade with about 6 or 7 minutes to spare. I'm just out of curiosity, do we know if he grabbed a knockoff somewhere from a street vendor in Bali, or was there one flown over, or was he that confident to get the deal done that that we had one on standby for him?
No, I think he was over there with a bunch of his mates, I think, from Richmond, and they'd found a knockoff on a street vendor in Bali, and they were having some fun with it. That's my understanding of that. And we were, with Dan, we were really confident that would get done. Richmond were very accommodating. They were terrific throughout the process and very patient. We were just hoping to find the right pick for them, because we were keen to get Dan, and they were, you know, really good about it. We didn't want to try and negotiate and squeeze him out of there for unders. We wanted to do the right thing, and it was just a matter of, you know, getting that pick in. And once, as soon as we had that, we were more than happy to pass it over.
James Gallagher is with us, list boss at the Saints. A couple before we let you go. Of the outgoing players, so Blake Akers, in terms of his involvement in the trade to Fremantle, as we understand it, it's obviously a pretty good deal at the Dockers, but he was sort of reluctant to depart the club. I guess that's a good thing in a sense that you've built a culture where players don't necessarily want to leave. But did that take some persuading, or was that, I guess, once he saw the offer that was on the table, he was sort of fairly comfortable with that?
I think so, yeah. I think he's obviously a West Australian. Blakey wasn't sort of racing to get back to Perth by any means, and he's been a really helpful player for us at the footy club for 5 or 6 years. But I think potentially the security of a slightly longer deal and with some of the players coming in and going out from Fremantle, he thought maybe there's greater opportunity there to more game time, more midfield time. So weighing those things up, I think he came to that decision.
And Josh Bruce, was there ever a point where that didn't look likely? I know St Kilda weren't in a hurry necessarily to trade him, but the pick they used was obviously able to assist them in getting Zach Jones. Was there a belief they could have acquired Jones another way if that Bruce deal had fallen through?
Yeah, I think we could have. But we were really reluctant to trade Josh out. He's been an excellent player for the footy club. He's, they're not easy to find contested marking key forwards. Who are real competitors. So we're really reluctant to consider a trade there. And I suppose what we did want to make sure was that we had some sort of a replacement before we considered trading Josh out. So when Dougal indicated he was keen to come to us, that he became a real priority, because Dougal, while we certainly see him as a key back by playing there, he can allow someone like a Josh Battle to go and play forward, or even we can throw Dougal forward at times if we need to as well. So we didn't want to leave ourselves completely exposed in the key forward department. So once we had Dougal, we were probably a bit more open to accommodating Josh's wish to a trade. But that was a tough one, given that how important he is and how popular he is with our members and supporters. But I think we've done the right thing there.
And speaking of popular with Jack Stephen, only two St Kilda players have ironically ever finished their career on 183 games at the club. The other one's Tony Lockett. So Tony Lockett and Jack Stephen, both the other 183 gamers at the club. It's obviously hard when a four-time best and fairest leaves. He had a very difficult season for off-field for a number of reasons. The negotiation process, Lethlean also mentioned that obviously part of the salary will be contributed by St Kilda in year one, but not year two. How much did that sort of centre around, what pick you get as to how much St Kilda contributes? And I imagine it's a delicate one when you're sort of dealing with a favourite son.
Yeah, very. The salary component, which we won't go into any detail about, but yeah, that does have an impact on the pick that Geelong were comfortable in handing back to us for Jack. It's a difficult one. He's just been a star player for St Kilda. He's been a champion, four-time best and fairest winner, but had a challenging 12 months and has expressed a desire to get back down closer to family down in Geelong. So we didn't want to get too cute about that. We wanted to accommodate Jack's wishes, given he's done so much for our footy club. On the balance of it all, we feel like we've done the right thing for Jack to make that as easy as possible to get down there. And really hopeful that he has a happy next few years down there and plays some good footy. Maybe not too well against us.
And the last one, as we let you go, how important was it to maintain next year's first-round draft pick? There was a talk, obviously, that Fremantle wanted two first-rounders. Obviously, we're able to use one to get two from Port Adelaide and then obviously do separate trades with each of the other first-rounders effectively there. But how important is it to obviously maintain that first-round presence for the 2020 draft?
I think it's really important. You don't want to go a couple of years without having at least the opportunity to bring in some of the real high-end talent around the country. And that's, we don't anticipate going and doing, bringing in five players in the trade period again anytime soon. So from here, we think we've addressed a number of needs. And if we can get to the draft next year early and have a couple of reasonable picks. That'll be great.
James, thank you. Congratulations. A lot of positive feedback coming through via the other text for your work over the last couple of weeks. Well done on the successful haul of 5 from 5 and certainly from personal experience. Wishing the Saints very well for 2020.
Appreciate it, Darren. Thanks, mate.
James Gallagher there, Saints list boss. And Saints fans, for today and tomorrow only, you can sign up 2 access memberships for the price of 1. Call the Saints during business hours on 1300 467 246. Young Kangaroo recruit Aiden Bonner to join us after his decision to cross over from GWS. So that's coming up next on Time On.
On SEN, your home of sport. Time On with Sam McClure.
It's Darren Parkin in for Sam McClure. A well-earned break after a feverish few weeks hunting all of this trade news coming through. And also Mitch Cleary, who's been hosting Time On Trade beautifully over the last couple of weeks. A little bit of delisting news around a couple of clubs, Hawthorn and Geelong, which we'll bring you very shortly. And we'll also love to hear from you, 1300 736 736. Aiden Bonner was speculated about a potential move from GWS back to Victoria over the last 6 or 7 days, and it did eventuate with what I think was the very last trade of the other trade period, with North Melbourne waiting just outside the room to get the paperwork signed before the deadline. And I'm sure Aiden Bonner delighted to be back in Victoria, originally from the Dandenong Stingrays, played 6 games across a couple of seasons with the Giants after being taken with pick 11 in the 2017 draft. Aiden, thanks for joining us and congratulations on the new home.
Hey, mate. Thanks for having me.
Now, take us through the last few moments of the trade period. How confident were you? And I guess, how does that work? Do you sit at home and you have your manager sort of back and forth making phone calls, sort of telling you how close it is? Were you confident that was going to sneak in?
Yeah, it was exactly like that. Just at home, and had the phone up on the AFL app, and my manager Robbie DiRazio was just filling in the calls and seeing how it was going. And the trade didn't happen until the last couple of minutes, so I was sweating on it to happen. But when I saw the royal blue and the orange coming, I knew the deal was going to happen. And really happy it did go through.
Was it just North? I mean, there'd been speculation around a couple of other clubs. Were you unsure at that stage, or did it reach a point where you knew it's either North or I'm staying?
Yeah, at that time I knew it was just North at the time, or I was going to be heading back up Sydney to the Giants. So I was just waiting for that to go through.
And I guess that's the alternative that would have happened. You would have just sort of gone back to work at GWS if it hadn't have gone that way, and obviously head down, bum up for 2020.
Yeah, 100%. I would have, packed the bags and went back up to the Giants and, worked hard to crack the side. But, happy that the Giants and the Kangaroos could get something done so I can come back to Melbourne. So it's great.
When did this sort of, I guess, enter your thinking that you'd like a move back to Victoria? I mean, GWS had another terrific year. They've had the emergence of a number of young midfielders in Hopper and Taranto and these sorts of guys that have come through. Was it a case of you sort of realised that it was going to be better for your career to seek those opportunities elsewhere, or did it sort of come about relatively late?
Yeah, well, probably the back end of the season, I knew that opportunities were slim at the Giants, and it was just, not just that, but it was support around me as well. I felt that I needed to come back home to my family and friends. I just needed a good support base, and I think, coming back home, and there's opportunity at the Kangaroos to play at the higher level, and can't wait to crack into it.
Have they spoken to you much about the specific role? You're a versatile player, sort of explosive player, with a lot of tricks and can do a number of different things. Have they spoken to you specifically about sort of what they're bringing you over for?
Yeah, I've talked to Shorey a bit about it, and I've just said, obviously inside mid, but, I can play, I said to him, I can play anywhere for you, back, forward, or mid. So, just staying open to whatever position I get and just take it on and, go from there.
Do you immediately look at that North list and look at guys like Simpkin and Taron Thomas that we've seen come through, and obviously Luke Davies, Uniacke, and even, some of the youngsters they've got forward of the ball like Zerhar and Larky, and sort of started to sort of get a bit excited thinking, well, I was coming through with a young group at the Giants, but North have got a pretty good young crop as well?
Yeah, 100% thinking about it in the yeah, last 24 hours and just seeing the list and meeting some of them today, it's great. And hopefully we can build from there and getting to play with my best mate as well, Luke Davies-Uniac. Can't wait. And, yeah, can't wait to start with that group.
Your numbers in the NEAFL were pretty good. Your tackle numbers also particularly high and getting a fair bit of the ball. Are you sort of confident with the body of work you've put behind you? I mean, you had a lot of injuries as a junior with the ACLs, but it looks to have been a pretty steady progression from there. You must have been pleased with your performance this year.
Yeah, 100%. It's like asking your second knee. I've played every single game the last 2 years, so I'm really, really confident in the body. And through the NEAFL, I've worked up good form, and I think I've played pretty well. So I think it should put me in good stead for the future, and, yeah, good future at the Roos.
Absolutely. A few more before we let you go. We're speaking to Aidan Bonnet, new Kangaroo. In terms of sort of what happens from here, I obviously understand you're in Victoria at the moment, but in terms of moving down, is it sort of a case where you've got a living arrangement in place, or you'll live with one of the boys? Sort of how does that work?
Yeah, so the clubs are really good at that, and they've contacted me, and I'll be living with Luke Davies-Uniac, and so we've sorted that out in the last 24 hours, and just got to head back to Sydney and grab a couple of things like the bed and the couch, and get back here and set up for that.
So when does the pre-season start for you? When do you arrive? Usually the sort of 1 to 4 years get back a bit before everyone else.
Yeah, I think it starts on the fourth. For the next month, so I'll keep in contact with the club. Obviously the Giants finish a bit later, so just seeing where I head back and seeing what sort of program I'm on, so yeah.
And have you set, I know it's probably too early in the process, but have you set an expectation on year one at North? I mean, you've broken into the Giants side in both of your first 2 years in the comp, playing a bit of footy in 18 and 19. Have you sort of set yourself a target that you'd like to, become a regular feature straight away? Are you aiming to play, 20 games or you sort of haven't got to that level yet?
Yeah, haven't really sat down and thought about it. I'm just coming into third season. I think I've just got to, really enjoy it and, obviously want to really play the high level as much as I can. So I think the next couple of weeks coming through, I'll sit down and do a plan with the people around me.
And how difficult has it been to leave, obviously, a place where you've spent a couple of years and there's a lot of young players down there? I mean, I'm always curious to know the challenge of that for a young footballer, obviously, to leave a place that's been home for a couple of years.
Yeah, it doesn't hit you until you actually do get traded, but up there, I've made a lot of mates, and coming straight out of school and living in Sydney for the last 2 years, I will miss a lot of my mates up in Sydney, but I just thought about at the end of the day, my career, and obviously coming back down to Melbourne would be a better suit for me. So yeah.
You've got a very good group of players to work with at North Melbourne. Certainly glad that it's worked out that way for you. You certainly seem delighted to be back in Victoria and playing with a young North Melbourne side. We wish you well and thank you for giving us your time.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Aidan Bonnet there. Six games across a couple of years at the Giants, but a very much a promising prospect. One off the text. Will Walker always gets missed when talking about North's young guns. That he does, although Dean has also mentioned via the text or a couple of others as well. Where are we here? From Dom, sorry. He says, Aidan Bonner is a huge, powerful beast at only 20 years of age. I can see exciting times ahead with Bonner, LDU, Simkin, Thomas, Zuha, Larky, Hayden, Walker, Taylor, Scott, all growing together and turning fortunes of our club around. That is from Dom, who's nice and positive about that. Shane is joining us from Helen. We'll just have a chat about the trade period overall and in particular, I guess, the talent at the absolute top end. Shane, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, mate.
Before I start, Bobby, beware with GWS players too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go on.
I've been listening to the last couple of days. They've been saying about the winners and losers.
Yep.
I feel that if you don't draft an A grader, anything becomes before that is just an average player.
So who do you classify as the A graders that have gone? Obviously, we know Tim Kelly is one. Were there
yeah,
others?
Time is he's only been in the game for a couple of years now. You got to wait till he's in the game for 5 or 6 years before he become an A grader.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty confident if you can finish sort of top five or six in the Brownlow, if you can play the type of prelim that he played and put those 2 years together. I mean, I understand that you'd like to see a Martin Fife level body of work, but I think he's played, 46 almost elite games for Geelong over a 2 year period and been a super talent for them. I guess in terms of other A grade talent, you put Brad Hill would be pretty close to the mark, you would think. It depends on sort of how harsh people judge those sorts of things. I mean, Joe Danaher's A grade talent, he didn't go. He remains at the Bombers. So, but I mean, generally, you would think that's the way a trade period is generally going to go. You're less likely probably to see the absolute top of the tree get traded. It's usually players for opportunity or players towards the end of their career or guys that are in the Danaher situation where there's a frustration, where they've had injuries and can't get on the park. So without Danaher getting traded, it left probably the likes of Kelly and maybe Hill as your absolute top-end talent that did go. Thank you, Shane. 1-300-736-736 if you'd like to get involved. The Speckle text machine, 0433-98-11-16 as well. A break and plenty more to come. We want to also ask your questions via the text or the calls. And we've got a couple of prizes to give away, 1-300-736-736. You can't really analyse the trade period until a couple of years down the track and you figure out who worked and who didn't and what happened. So for your club, I've created three categories that I'd like to know, 1-300-736-736 or 0433-98-11-16. The three categories are the Judd, the McLeod, and the Dempster. So the Judd is the absolute top of the pops, blue ribbon star trade that you're able to acquire. So the big boy that came across and delivered the goods that came with all of the hype. So who was your club's Judd? The McLeod trade, which is the I can't believe we let him go trade. When we look at Chris Groome going to Fremantle in exchange for Andrew McLeod, I'm sure Fremantle are thinking, I don't know how we let him go. So the McLeod trade, so who's your McLeod? Who's your Judd and who's your McLeod? And then who's the Dempster? Sean Dempster was the steak knives in an Adam Schneider trade, a player that was almost an afterthought coming across to St Kilda that ended up being a very good player for the club. So they're the three. Who was your Judd? The superstar, wrap a ribbon on it, that's top of the pops. The McLeod, I can't believe we let him go. And the Dempster, I never even thought about that trade and never expected it, and it turned out to be an absolute bargain for us. At 1-300-736-736 or shoot us a text 0433-98-11-16. The Judd, the McLeod, and the Dempster.
On SEN, your home of sport. Time on with Sam McClure.
Welcome back, Darren Parkin, in place of Sam McClure. We've thrown the lines open. We've got a double pass to the MotoGP available for our best caller, 1-300-736-736. Double pass to the MotoGP at the Island. We are asking for your Judd, your McLeod, and your Dempster. Your Judd is the absolute blue ribbon trade. The McLeod is the I can't believe I let him go. And the Dempster is the steak knives, the bargain, the absolute left field trade that you didn't expect that turned out to be an absolute winner. Plenty of nominations for the Dempster. That's been the most popular via the other text machine. Rob's in Rosebud, wants to have a chat about a few things. Rob, thanks for your call.
Hi, how you going?
Good, mate.
I think Basha Hooley should take at all three.
Just about, yeah. Just about. From an Essendon point of view, he'd be in the second category, the McLeod. But, yeah, he's been a jet. Did you expect from a Richmond point of view, assuming you are Richmond, that it was going to be as good as it was?
No, no. These guys come to the club and you think, oh, yeah, but he's just been unbelievable. Each year he gets better and better. And we even did well with Sean Grigg as well.
Nane Curvis, you're probably another one you did pretty well with.
Yeah, Nane Curvis.
Yeah.
Basha Hooley, I think he takes the cake.
Yeah, I think so.
We got him for almost nothing.
Yeah, I'll look up exactly what that was. It would have been about 2010-ish that he would have come across from Essendon, maybe not as long ago as that. Someone will know the exact answer. I'll look that up. But I think he started at Essendon in 07, 06 or 07, and obviously came across the way he has. And you look at sides that have had a lot of recent success, Richmond and Hawthorn, that have won, say, five of the last seven flags, their ability to rejuvenate careers. I mean, Hawthorn were masters of it with Gunston and Hale and Burgoyne and McAvoy and these sorts of players, Frawley, all of these specialist players, Brian Lake, that they've been able to bring in and rejuvenate. And Bashir Hawley might have been preseason draft, according to John coming through there. I'll double check that. I had a feeling he might have been traded, but we'll confirm that. Either way, that's a pick up and a half. Thank you, Rob. We'll go to Bulleen and Jason. Jason, thanks for jumping on.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Good, good.
Mate, it's based on the current trade, but I still cannot believe, which is my McLeod, is Dougal Howitt being shipped on from Port Adelaide. When, you know, 202 centimetre, strapping young player, can play in both the forward and the back. And for him to be moved on, it beguiles me to see how we've gone in the trade period. And furthermore, I wonder if this will mostly be the last year of Hinkley, whether he's put the nail in the coffin for him.
Do you feel that, I think it was Cleary and Jonas were those that were sort of getting picked ahead of him. They tried to play him forward. Do you think that was as a reaction to, obviously, Dixon and Westhoff at times struggling a little bit? I think they both got dropped. And in the end, they swing Howard forward. He can't get his defensive spot back and they end up losing him.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's, I suppose, part of the problem is that when you do have that, where you take that player out of position and they're not used to playing the position that they normally would be in, you're always going to struggle. But I just think he's just such a great utility player and just the perfect size. You know, 202 centimetres, and you need tall timber in that back line as well as in that front line. So that really surprised me. So he'd be my McLeod.
Yeah, for sure. I love Barry for the Saints. I'm hoping, unfortunately, from a Port Adelaide point of view, that turns out to be correct, Jason. But a good call, and hopefully for Port Adelaide's sake, given, you know, their draft haul, say, 12 months ago was so successful, if they go to the well again here with some a good hand of selections and a couple of first rounders in there, that that they can maybe generate another sweep of Butters and Dersma and Rosie and those sorts of players. Thank you, Jason. Sam's on the road, who's got nominations for our categories. Sam, thanks for calling.
Yeah, as a Collingwood supporter, obviously our Judd would have to be Buckley, but I'd actually would nominate as something a bit different is James Clement. He was a magic player. He was a fantastic player for us.
He'd almost be he'd almost be a Dempster, wouldn't he?
Oh, I reckon Paul Medhurst was our Dempster, because his name actually was Steak Knives.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I can't believe we let go Mel Michael. He was a fantastic backman for Brisbane, and like that cut me out badly losing him. He was a great player for him.
Yeah, I think about the same time you lost Shawbel as well, didn't you?
Mel Michael was the big one.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah, and then when you factor in who Brisbane played in a couple of those grand finals too, yeah, I think it's a reasonable call, certainly on the players nominated. Sam, so for all those who've called, you're in the running, which we'll announce in 10 or so minutes for the other MotoGP tickets. Aki, you got it right the first time. I am Darren, so you didn't need to correct Darren to David. You had it right the first time. But thank you very much for the text, and love to hear from you, Aki. Always good when your name pops up. And yeah, Bashir Hawley was a preseason draft selection, which is quite remarkable. At the end of the trade period in 2010, having not been traded, he left Essendon and was drafted by Richmond with their only selection in the preseason draft. Played 26 games in 4 years for the Bombers. He's played 181 at Richmond and a couple of flags in the time since. So he's been an absolute sensation. A few via the text before we clear another break. My Dempster trade is Sean Grigg from Carlton to Richmond as a swap for Andy Collins. What great value for the Tigers, Christian Baldwin. Yeah, I remember at the time, because Andy Collins had played some reasonable football for Richmond. He looked fairly dynamic. He'd had a few injuries. And I remember at the time assessing that trade as an iffy one, thinking that they'd rue letting Andy Collins go. Andy Collins, unfortunately, continued to have injuries at Carlton. And Grigg exploded at Richmond and was a superstar for them, played in that 2017 premiership and played such a pivotal role in an unfamiliar position for him. One here, Nathan Vardy for West Coast. Don't think we gave up much for him, but was very important in last year's flag. That's a Dempster nomination. Karen from Braybrook says, my Dempster has to be Jack Crisp. So underrated. Yeah, came across in the Dane Beams trade. So when Dane Beams left Collingwood to go to Brisbane, it was an early draft pick. And Crisp, and maybe something else, but certainly an early draft pick and Crisp, and then they ended up getting Beams back. Obviously, that hasn't quite worked out as they would have hoped, but to end up getting the player back and you've got Jack Crisp on your books is a significant result. Otten's to the Cats is the McLeod, I would say. Yeah, Brad Otten's going to Geelong, I think, is the very definition of an Andrew McLeod trade. How did we let him go? Jasper Pittard is a Dempster trade. Yep, that was a classic Steak Knife, someone who came across with Polek, and Polek was touted for a long time and North ended up getting the double. Mark says, from a Sydney point of view, our Judd trade was Buddy. Yep, obviously, the free agency move bringing him across. Our McLeod trade was Tom Mitchell. So how on earth did we let him go? He had 28 possessions and kicked two in the 2016 grand final, and then goes to Hawthorn and polls very well in a Brownlow, and then wins one the following year. And the Dempster trade is Josh Kennedy, who came across with Benny McGlynn from Hawthorn, I would suggest, at the end of 2009. The ultimate Dempster trade is Heath Scotland. Yep, coming across to the Blue Baggers. And Kirby from Leopold says the Bombers have missed one there with Aidan Bonner. Brian Lake, Dogs to Hawks, three flags. Is that your Judd or is that your Dempster? My Andrew McLeod trade for Geelong was sending Adrian Hickmott to Carlton and getting Marty McKinnon in return. Good call, John. And, another nomination. Yep, Dempster. The Dempster nomination is Brian Lake, Dogs to Hawks. Moody on the mic is about 15 minutes away, but you can jump on the line 1300 736 736 if you have nominations for your Judd, your McLeod, and your Dempster. So the Judd is the golden ticket, the star trade. The McLeod is I can't believe we let him go. And the Dempster is the steak knives, the unexpected trade that you didn't think much of that turned out to be pretty good for you. 1300 736 736, or shoot us a text on the Speckle text machine 0433 98 11 16.
On SEN, your home of sport. Time on with Sam McClure.
Welcome back. It is Time On. Darren Parkin sitting in for Sam McClure, and always getting some good interaction via the text machine in regards to our Judd, our McLeod, and our Dempster. A few here. So Chris was the steak knives in the Beams deal to Brisbane. Pies also got De Goey with the same transaction. So absolutely, that was a win and a half. DC from Willan says, my McLeod as a Saints man is Ben McAvoy. Yeah, I think it was part of the Shane Savage deal. McAvoy's been a star with Hawthorn, probably the ultimate McLeod moment from St Kilda is one that Tony from Warrandyte has just nominated, which was Ian Stewart to Richmond, who went on to win another Brownlow in a year where St Kilda lost a grand final by 7 points. So you wonder what impact Ian Stewart might have had in that grand final for the Saints. The Saints got Billy Barrett, who played, I think, 5 quarters of football, kicked 4 in his first game and then lasted a quarter in his second and never played again. As an Essendon Dempster going way back to 1995, the big names in a mega trade was Salmon to the Hawks and Jarman to Adelaide. But Essendon got Barnard and Wellman, who were brilliant for the Bombers in the 2000 Premiership. Exactly right. That's exactly what we're talking about. Hawthorn's McLeod has to be Gary Ablett Sr. Yep, played that 1 year with Hawthorn in 1982, then went to Myrtleford in 83 before ending up at the Cats from 84 onwards as one of the greatest players of all time. Hayden Crozier for pick 75 to Freo. Yep. Crozier, probably a late-ish bloomer, but been a wonderful player since coming across to the Dogs. Dempster trade Peter Foster to the Dogs, thrown in with Chris Hansen. One here, I was not happy, Jan, when Hawthorn gave away Josh Kennedy to Sydney. Should have been more patient with him. That's from Dean. And Lee Brown for the Dempster trade to Collingwood. Yep, he ended up being a grand final utility, sort of second ruckman type player in 2010. Dennis Armfield for the Dempster came with the Judd trade. That's Tom. And the Judd trade was the guy who was traded to West Coast for Judd, Josh Kennedy, from Albany. Yeah, that's the ultimate win-win, I would say. Barry Hall to the Dogs, Dempster trade. Yep, after the awkward way with which his career finished at Sydney, to get rejuvenated in that way and finish as strong as he did at the Western Bulldogs would have been something that was very, not surprising, but very pleasing for Bulldogs fans. A couple of the deals that didn't go down were the Tom Papley and Jack Martin deals. Steve Silvani gave his assessment as to where they're at when he spoke this morning.
We were able to get a couple of plays through in Mark Pittenet and also Eddie Betts that we're really excited about. But obviously there's an element of disappointment. Tom Papley made it clear that he would have liked to have got to Carlton Football Club. And the same with Jack Martin. Obviously, in Tom's situation, it's always difficult to get a player through who's contracted. And look, the process when you target a player or a player would like to come to your club, you have a close relationship with a manager, or you have dialogue with the manager to know what's going to get that deal done. We sat down and put a deal that we thought could get that player through the door. Otherwise, they just wouldn't go down that process. But ultimately, you know, the Swans have that final say because he is contracted, and it didn't work our way. So that's disappointing for Tom. And Jack, really, we thought we put a really good deal to Gold Coast. But having said that, they knocked it back. But there's still a process that we can go down with Jack, whether that's through the national draft or pre-season draft. But that's something we'll work out in the next sort of 3 to 4 weeks.
Steve Silvani there. A couple of texts. One, Dash, an example of how highly I rate Dougal Howard. Round 6, he kept Ben Brown goalless from only one mark. And in round 22, Brown kicks 10 on Jonas and Cleary whilst Dougal ran around for the Port Magpies in the Sandful. One here that Judd is, Cats getting Stephen while picking up 14, 24 and a first round. It did lose Kelly though, but yeah, they did very well to make the best of that situation. James Clement getting a lot of nominations to the Pies. That's a McLeod trade, so that's from a Fremantle point of view. That, how did they give him up? That's Mick from Essendon. Brett is on the road, wants to have a chat about some players landing at the Magpies. Brett, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks, Dash. Going to mention Lukey Ball and Darren Jolly.
Yeah.
I know you're a main supporter, Dash, and I don't want to rub it in, but you know, that was a pretty good pickup for the Pies because I don't think that cost us anything either.
No, well, Luke Ball was picked 30. I think he went in the national draft after the trade couldn't be brokered. And yeah, Darren Jolly was a really important need because Josh Fraser was battling at that point for fitness. And I think might have been Chris Bryan or one of those sorts of players had played in the prelim a couple of years earlier against Geelong, and they needed to sort of bolster those ruck stocks. So to get Jolly and Ball at the same time, who are ruck and rover in a premiership side within 12 months, was an enormous get for the Pies, Brett. And there have been quite a few of those. We've had the nominations for James Clement and Paul Medhurst, so, and Crisp. So your Magpies have had a pretty good record of landing sort of key players for not necessarily all that much.
I don't think it was Chris Bryant.
No.
I think that year it was Steve McKee.
Yeah, may well have been Steve McKee.
When Geelong beat us in the prelim, Bucks did his hammy.
Yeah, correct, in what was ultimately his last game of footy. So yeah.
While I was up the back of the grandstand crying. But anyway.
I've spent a lot of time in the back of the grandstand at the MCG crying, unfortunately, Brett. But yeah, I think that's about right. It was one of the better games of football that I can ever remember, that preliminary final, though, between Geelong and Collingwood in 2007. I've quickly sort of worked it up here. And it was Chris Bryan. There you go. 6 possessions, 9 hitouts. I think Stephen McKee played in some of those grand finals earlier as part of the decade as well. But Josh Fraser was absent from that, who had played well in those grand finals, particularly 2002. Back previously. Thank you, Brett. Also like Jason in Bulleen, who called us earlier. If you want to ring back, we can send you off to the MotoGP if you are so inclined. 1-300-736-736. We'll hit you up with a couple of tickets for that. Stephen Martin to Brisbane. Shocker. Coming through via the text. Teasdale and Francis Jackson from Richmond for John Petura from Sydney. Oh, what a McLeod. Chris from Baldwin. Yeah, the old John Petura trade, that was one of the more famous ones in, was about 77, maybe it was more recent than that. I remember interviewing a few people that were involved in that trade not that long ago. Damien Watson sort of organised it for us, but someone will know exactly when that was. McLeod trade for Fremantle was pick 1 and 36 to Hawthorne for Croden McPharlane. Those picks were used on Hodge and Mitchell. Now, that was the, I'm just trying to think. The Hawthorn for Crowe. Now, that was, I'm just trying to think what that trade was. So Trent Crowe went to, McLeod trade for Fremantle. It was pick 1 and 36 to Hawthorn for Crowe and McFarlane. That's exactly right. So well done, Chris. So, and that's another example of trading for a player, and then that player ends up back at the original club in Trent Crowe, going back to Hawthorn and playing in a premiership with Hodge and Mitchell, which was the ultimate pain for Fremantle. And McAvoy hardly steak knives. They paid pick 9 and Shane Savage for him. There might have been a little bit more going back the other way. But yeah, that may well be more of a Judd type trade. A couple of calls before we wrap things up. Phil's in Craigie Burn. Phil, who have you got for us?
Can I just ask you, what do you think the game between Port Adelaide and St Kilda this next year when they go to Shane, whatever it is, overseas?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it'd want to be better than the one this year where Port Adelaide thumped the Saints by 70-odd. St Kilda obviously didn't have a great trip in terms of players getting crooked. But, yeah, it probably depends all on St Kilda, Phil, and whether they handle the trip much better than they did last time because they got hammered this year.
Yeah. So with the two Port Adelaide players in it, is that going to change it in me or what?
It'll probably add a little bit of spice. I mean, Dougal Howard... was a player that they, it was probably debates over where they sort of rated him in the system and all of that sort of stuff. Ryder, I think, towards the end of his career, there won't be a lot of animosity there. But, yeah, there's always something, particularly when one club's got a couple of players that used to play for you. It'd be like if Port Adelaide played North Melbourne just because of the sheer fact that, you know, they've had players that have gone to that club as well. So I reckon there'll be something in it. But the fact that it's in China probably changes that a little bit too, because there won't be a parochial crowd. It's not like it'll be at Marvel Stadium and you'll have the Saints fans, or it'll be at Adelaide Oval and you'll have the Port fans. So it's almost the very definition of neutral, Phil. Did you have any nominations as well?
No, I just really, I'm wet that they got the five players, man. I'm really wet. Actually, I haven't been a member, but I've been a follower since 1966 when they won their first grand final, and I'm going to join up. I'm joining up next week.
Oh, well done!
I'm going quite up about it.
Fantastic, Phil. I've certainly applaud you for that, and yeah, hopefully I end up with a memory like you had of 66 one day. Graham's in Doncaster. Graham, thanks for jumping on.
Thank you. I just want to know if all those Geelong supporters were grateful to get Ablett. Hawthorn won 7 or maybe 8 flags after we got rid of him. I'm not quite sure how many flags Geelong won. Can you refresh my memory?
Well, eventually they won 3, but none with Ablett Senior in the side. It's more a case of quality players obviously leaving one club. And it was actually a Hawthorn supporter, in fairness, Graham, that sent that through, saying that Hawthorn's probably biggest loss of a star player was that of Gary Ablett Senior. They made the best of it. They won the flag the year he left, and then they won 4 more in the decade, and then they won another one in 1991. So they didn't miss him. But imagine how good they would have been if Gary Ablett had have played for them. So I guess that's the purpose of it. So players of quality that have been let go. Hawthorn still ended up winning the day because they were the best side of that and just about any era. But yeah, imagine how much better they would have been if Ablett was on their side in the 1989 grand final instead of kicking 9 and jumping over packs for the opposition. It only matters in terms of the cup, but I'm sure they wouldn't have knocked him back, that's for sure. That's it for Time On. We have got Moody on the mic coming up next, and in the sporting capital, I'll be back after 8 o'clock continuing to talk a bit of footy, but racing taking centre stage next.